Good morning, church. All right, so good to see you all. Wish you all a very happy new year.
Happy new year.
Yes, so we made it through 22 and here we are in 23, and thank God we are still breathing and alive. That's one thing definitely we can be thankful for, and also for those who are joining online. So new year, right? The first thing that comes up, or at least from yesterday, everybody's thinking about those resolutions that Brother Rick mentioned, right? One of the most popular resolution for New Year's is?
Diet,
lose weight, all right. There's nothing else that tops above that, right? And this is the first week, I guess, the gym memberships skyrocket. And if you are planning to go to gym tomorrow, plan on waiting for your equipment for at least 10 minutes. And that's going to slowly fade off, so don't worry about that. We know that year after year, and if you're alive for more than, you know, like I am, you'll know that, right? So this is that week. So if you haven't subscribed for that membership yet, get ready. You may be on the waiting list. So as we think of these resolutions, like, you know, something we want to do better this coming year. And also, if you are at your workplace, you also reflect on the things, how it happened last year, right? And last week was the time of review. For all of us, you have to put together a list of things that you did, accomplished. And if you remember your goals that were set in January, did you meet those goals or did you get close to those? So those are all the inventory that we take at our workplace. So last week was crazy with all those things, at least for me. I'm sure some of you might have run into those inventory checks. As I'm thinking about that, we also have to take care of our spiritual inventory. What I mean by that is, how did we do spiritually last year? And how are we going to make it better this year? And there is always scope for improvement. If you are at a place where you're like, yep, I'm good, I'm all set, my goal is to make you uncomfortable and get up from that, all right? So it's going to be challenging as I'm preparing. God spoke, like, you know, so many convictions, like, oh, yeah, a lot of things I need to look at. It's like you go to the mirror, right? You see all those things. Yeah, you want to fix it, right? So that's God's word. God's word, the law, is like a mirror, and it shows so many things. You just need to go with your open heart. And we all struggle. We all are weak in one way or the other. Nobody in this room is perfect, but we serve a perfect God, right? So this time, I want you to focus on Colossians chapter 3. So we're going to look at one main thing, put on Christ, right? Actually, I'm going to give you three points. Think heaven. That's your first verses 1 through 4. And then the next one is put off whatever you want to do it. Earthly things, worldly desires. So that's from verses 5 through 9. And then the last few verses from 10 to 16 is put on Christ. So three things if you want to walk away today. Think heaven, put off the worldly things or worldly desires, and the last one is put on Christ. So let's unpack that. I'm going to read the first four verses from Colossians chapter 3. You guys there? Everyone have your Bible? All right, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I was going to stop there. Like, those four verses itself, there's so much meat in that. And that was my message. And then I was reading the other ones. I couldn't, like, yeah, I have to put these together, right? So, Pastor, you only gave me one Sunday, but I don't have a series that I can go to. So I have to wrap this all in half an hour that I have, because I know most of us have New Year plans and you guys want to waiting to get out and have that lunch. So I'll be quick, but at the same time, saturate you with so much, as much scriptures as I can. And then it's your job to get saturated with the scriptures once you get home. All right? So in this half an hour, I'll try to justify from what the time I was given. So first verse, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So it's not really if in the sense. It's since you are risen with Christ. It's a statement he's making, right? This is Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Colossians, talking to the believers in the church of Colossae. He's saying, since you are risen with Christ, that means you have made that decision once in your life to repent of your sins and accept Jesus as your Savior. So for those who made that decision, you are risen with Christ. Just as Christ rose from the dead, 3 days later, you are now risen. That means you were once dead. All right, we'll get to that. All right. Just as you are risen with Christ, what is the first thing you have to do? Seek those things above. So what does it mean when it says seek those things above? It just says seek those things that are heavenlies. In other words, think heaven. So that is my first point. Think heaven, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. So when the scripture says right hand of the Father, it's that position of authority Jesus was given after he rose and conquered sin and death. He is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. Right? He has done his work and he is at the right hand of the Father. And the first thing you're taking notes is seek those things which are above. What does that mean? Like seeking heavenly things. He says that in verse 2 again. That means set your affections. So this is the practical part, right? Set your affections on things above. So we are saved and we are now risen with Christ, but we are still in this world, the world where the flesh and Satan is ruling, right? So while you are here on this earth, you don't belong to this earth. Yes, we are in the midst of the world, but we don't belong here. All right? Our citizenship is heaven. This is just a temporary place. So we need to set our clocks to the heavenly time. Let me say that again. We need to set our clocks to our headquarters time. When I say headquarters, it's our heavenlies. Set your thoughts on heavenly. So a few months ago, we got an opportunity to go visit India. All right? So India is 10 and a half hours ahead of us. So right now it's 11:45 for us. They are, I guess, 9 o'clock in the evening. All right? So when we went there, the first 2 weeks, I was working remotely with my laptop. So even though I was in India, I was maintaining my Eastern time and I was working 9 to 5 in India. So we and Priya, we would start our work, right? Even though it's evening, all right, we know it's time to get to work at 9 or 10, 8 in the east, 6, I guess 6:30, 7 in the evening, we would get our laptops and we are started working on the Eastern time. And we would work all the way to 2:30, 3 o'clock. And that was our time. Even though we were in India, everybody's sleeping, we were still working. Because my clocks were set to my Eastern time. Because I don't want to call my boss at 3 in the afternoon in India time and say, hey, boss, I think I got to talk to you something. Nope, he's sleeping here. Right? I still have to maintain my time even though I am way outside. You get that? So even though you are in this world, we still have to set our thoughts on the heavenly time, on the heavenly realm. All right? So we'll look at that, what it means practically in a minute. Okay? So just get that point in your head. We are to set our clocks at heavenly time. Actually, Daniel is a perfect example for that. Do you guys know? Daniel, he was captured as a teenager from Jerusalem, and he was captured and taken into Babylon. All right? So he lived a life, in the midst of all unsaved people, under unsaved rulership. All right? The king doesn't believe in God. And there, he was still obeying God, and he was doing his thing, and he was excelling in his career too at the same time. All right? So let me just quote you one verse. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. So he was taken as a captive in teenager. Now it's more than 60 years past when we get to Daniel chapter 9. He's going to get a prophecy from an angel. Okay? So I'm going to read you two verses for you. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. And while he was speaking and praying, so from verse 1 to 20, Daniel is just pouring his heart out to God. He is praying. All right? And here we are in verse 20. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of evening oblation. I know it's a big verse, but hold on, stay with me. The last part of the verse says, while he was praying, what happened? A man named Gabriel, that is the angel we all know, right? He came and he touched him swiftly, and he added that last phrase at the end. Touched me about the time of evening oblation. For those Old Testament folks, the time of evening oblation is nothing but the time of evening sacrifices. So when you were in Jerusalem, all right, there were times set for sacrifices. Daily sacrifices were made in the temple. Okay? Daily sacrifices were made, daily thanksgiving offerings were made, and daily prayers were offered in the temple. And the evening oblation is the time, it's called the ninth hour, or 3 p.m. in our time. So when 3 p.m. struck, there were sacrifices made, there were prayers being offered, the high priest would go and make those sacrifices. And there, as a nation, whole Israel were also praying at that time. But now, where is Jerusalem, or what happened to Jerusalem? It's been 60 years since Jerusalem was captured, right? And it is in ruins. There was no sacrifices. There is no temple. It was destroyed. There are no evening sacrifices. Nothing's happening. But look at David's heart. Even though there were no sacrifices, even though there were no prayers offered, he still set his clock on Jerusalem time. And even though there were no offerings, in his heart, he was still offering those prayers at the evening oblation. Think about it. Sometimes we just read through scriptures. We don't get these insights. And when you pause, you'll see Daniel's heart is. And if you speak to any other Jew at that time, what are you talking about evening oblation? Some people might have totally forgotten about the evening oblation because it's been 60 years since they were captured. There was nobody offering sacrifice. There is no high priest. And there is Daniel speaking to God, and he did have that time to put in that phrase there. He touched me when? About the time of evening oblation. So there is Daniel's heart. So where is his heart set? On the things of God. And in the midst of this world right now, if you see and you turn on the news, there is enough information out there to depress you. And you're looking at yourself, how can I make it through this year? All right, I'm an adult. I kind of made it. I look at my kids, I'm like, how are these kids going to make it? If it's worse now, how are these kids who are 10 and 15 now, they are going to go into the world in 10 years? No, God knows, right? But we need to set our thoughts on heavenly things. Even though the prince of the air is currently ruling, who is sovereign over everything? God is. So our focus should be on things above. God is still supreme. He is the ruler. He is sovereign over everything. And all the circumstances that we have, he knows. He knows who he appoints the rulers. He appoints the president. Who are we to question, like, why is he there or why is he not there? God, when God appoints, we should just shut our mouth. So back in India, I don't know how many years ago, this prime minister was appointed. He is a Hindu extremist. And Christians were all like fearing, oh no, there's going to be persecution. And absolutely, after a few years, there are churches being burnt. There are pastors pulled from the pulpit while they are preaching on Sundays. It is happening right now. And one thing my dad said, I can't forget. God sometimes put these peoples to unite churches within. So to grow more and trust, not trust in their own abilities, but to trust in God. It just stuck in my mind, like, how do you see this bad situation? You can still turn it into good. Because knowing that, these pressure only makes the Christian strong. And those pastors will have to endure, but there will be rewards up there. So thank heaven. Don't just try to survive like David, like Daniel did, how he thrived in the Babylon. We had a great series with young adults this past year, how to thrive in this sinful world as Daniel. You can still be successful. You can still do great things, even though things around doesn't go your way. Okay? Does that mean think heaven is, yeah, just every day morning, you're only thinking about God and leave your family. Hey, you go cook your own food. I'm busy with, no, absolutely not. When I say think heaven, your focus is there, but you still have to take care of your family down here. You still have to get up and go to work. You still have to take care if you're feeling sick. Better get some rest, all right? Paul tells us in Timothy, first chapter, chapter 5, verse 8, but if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I mean, that's a strong word for those who are spiritually sluggards, right? Oh, God's going to take care, and he's going to provide, but you're not making any efforts. So there's God's provision. Yes, you trust in God, but at the same time, you have to get up and go work, right? So this is a strong statement that he is worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your family. So you better take care of your family, right? So back to our the second verse. It says, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. So when we focus on the things of the earth, we get depressed. So that is the time we have to set our affections. And most of us know they have the promises of God, right? When we get saved, I hope you got through the discipleship, and there's so many memory verses Pastor gives us to equip us when things come to use those scriptures, right? So some of the things that I was thinking, like, yeah, as a Christian, right? The Bible tells us what is our position in Christ, or in the sense, where are you seated? We know in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, we know that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm just going to give you that verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So Jesus is right now at the heavenly places, right? And here's a verse that will blow your mind. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says that you are already seated in the heavenly. I don't ask me how, I can't explain that. But if the scripture says it, I believe it. All right? What's this? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us, that is, for us who put their trust in Christ, together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where are you right now? Yeah, you're seated here. But positionally, Jesus looks at you, and he says that you are already seated with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Does that like give you, wow. It's not like someday Jesus is going to come and, oh, thank God, he's going to get us out of here. You are already sitting with Jesus in heavenly places. And we are here like living this defeated life and say, ah, oh, Jesus, I know you're coming back. Please come today. I can't wait to get out of here. No, you are already sitting with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we all know we are a fallen race, right? It came from Adam, right? Adam sinned, and that sin came into us. But when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are made a new creation. So you are not just sitting on the heavenly places. You are a new creation, right? We know that verse, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Most of us know, or at least would have memorized. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Are become new. The positionally we say, he says that, yeah, we are made new, right? But we still have that flesh that's living, that's fighting with the spirit. And we have that struggle every day. But positionally, Jesus says, you are new. And it is my responsibility to live up to that expectation. Knowing that I am made new every day, I need to walk as I am made new. There is my responsibility on my side, right? And again, this is not about merits that, okay, you do your best and then you find God's favor. We already found God's favor. That is called grace. It is unmerited favor. There is nothing I can do to earn my way. But in the life that I now live, I am called to be good. Not because to earn my way to heaven, but I am called to be good. So there is no way on our achievements or merits we can go there. It is all by what Christ has done. And one of the most familiar verses, right? Romans 8:1. That there is therefore no condemnation for those who make their best efforts to get there, or who tried their best in 22 and now they find their favor and there is no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that is our position. So why am I repeating all this again? Because in a week, in a month, there will be circumstances in our life where we feel that we are not. And these are the scriptures that we need to remember, that you are already made new. You are already sitting in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And then here's another promise. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. You are dead. I mean, I think most of the people here are coming to church and you get what I mean. I'm looking for somebody who just came to church for the first time and you're like, what? You're dead? What are you doing? I mean, yeah, we are dead to the world, right? This word dead we use in the scripture. There's four things I was thinking I put here, right? We know from Romans chapter 6 through verse 8, it talks about we have died in Christ. So when we trusted Jesus, we said, okay, it's not on my own merit. I am dead in Christ. And then Christ died for us. That's the second thing. We know that Christ died for us. That is the substitutionary payment that was made for the sins of the world. And then we know we died with him where when we have identified ourselves in the baptism, right? When we stood up there and professed Christ, I believe in Christ. And then that is where we are. We died with him. And Colossians chapter 2, just a chapter before, it talks about that, right? Colossians 2 verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. I mean, I love that verse. I had to put it in, even though it didn't fit the scripture. I love that verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. You have this natural thing that was given to you, the sin nature, on your way to heaven. But God has given you that certificate of death taken away. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us. We were designed to have perfect relationship with God. That's the reason we are created. That's the reason Adam and Eve were created, to have that personal, intimate relationship with God. But then sin entered, right? That was contrary to us. And what did Jesus do? He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So highlight that verse. My favorite. Make it your favorite too if you didn't. Colossians 2:14. Okay? And the last one is Christ died not only for sin, but he died unto sin, breaking its power. Okay, he died not only for sin, but he died unto sin by breaking its power. So next time, when I'm struggling with my besetting sin, saying that, oh, this flesh, I still have this. Until Jesus comes back, I don't have that redeemed body. And I yield to that. But remember, when Jesus died, he died unto sin, breaking its power. And I'm no longer subject to the power of sin. The link that bound us with sin has been broken by Christ on the cross. So you and I are freed from the necessity to be subject to sin in the flesh. So next time when I'm struggling with besetting sins, I should remember that Christ has already broken that curse. And that power has been broken, and you were given that power by Holy Spirit living inside us. So I don't need to yield to this flesh. So that is the moment I need to say, okay, sin, you don't have dominion over me anymore. Because Christ has already broken that chain. Right? A natural man doesn't have that. My little one, 2-year-old, he doesn't need to be taught to just pick up something and run away. It's natural for him. He knows it's stealing. He just picks it up and runs away. But you need to teach a lot of good things. Hey, put it back, say thank you, say this. Those are all the things we need to teach. But the bad things, you don't need to teach. It's by nature. Hey, blame it on Adam, not the kid. Right? So, you are dead. So remember, we are all dead people. That means the things of the world shouldn't attract us. That's what it means. We are dead to the world. Okay? Bible also talks about two deaths. And this is where I had to squeeze in the gospel, right? The Bible talks about two deaths. The first death and the second death. The first death is your separation of your soul from the body. We all, one day or the other, will go there. That is your separation of soul from the body. That is the first death. Nobody can avoid. The second death is the separation of soul from God. And that is the thing you really have to worry about. The first death and the second death. The second death, it's all over the scripture. Jesus talked about it. Let me just give you one verse. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their path in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is second death. So this is the death each one of us in this room have to worry about. And if you have put on Christ, or if you have accepted Christ and you are risen with Christ, you don't need to worry about the second death. Me and Josh, we read, Ariane left a book called Boy's Devotion in the back. And Eddie's name is all written there. So I make sure I read a day's scripture with him. And there's so much insights in there. Like everything I read, it's like, such a blessing. Thank you. So one day we were reading, and there is a conversation with a dad and a son. Son is planning to go to a birthday party in the evening with his friend's place. And dad gets an opportunity to share the gospel with him. Hey, everybody has a birthday, right? Spiritual, we have all has a physical birthday, and dad brings up this spiritual birthday, where the day you accept Christ is your spiritual birthday. So on this earth, you all should be having two spiritual birthdays, or two birthdays, one physical one, you know what I mean, right? My thoughts are racing. Two birthdays. So everybody in this room should be able to say, I have two birthdays. Hey, I grew up in a Christian family, a Christian home. Like my grandmother, my dad, my grandmother was my Sunday school teacher. And since kindergarten, middle school. I don't know how many stories I have heard about Christ and his death, and I raised my hand. Yeah, Jesus, I'm bad. I did that to my friend. I asked for forgiveness. And I don't know how many times. So all through my school years into college, I made that decision to surrender to God. So I knew I was saved, but I don't know exactly when. Do you put it at 6 years or do you put it at 12 years? But I know I'm saved, all right? So there's my birthday someday, I guess. 6 years or 12 years or 20 years, whatever, right? So I have my spiritual birthday, I can say for sure. So each one of us should have that second birthday. If you don't, there'll be two deaths you need to face. So what is that? If you die once, you live twice, or if you die twice, you live once, whatever that is. So basically don't go into that two deaths. The first death is your soul from your body, nobody can avoid. But the second death, if you did not make that decision to surrender your life to Christ, repent of your sin, you will be facing the second death. That is separation of your soul from the Creator for eternity. And there will be fire and brimstone. You don't want to be there. So, New Year, what a day to have that spiritual birthday. Make that decision today if you haven't made that. And then you can say, hey, Happy New Year. It's my birthday too. Right? There you go. Verse 3. It says, your life, first part is you are dead. And the second part is your life is hid with Christ in God. There is no way I can get to 16. We are only in verse 3. So.
Hey, don't worry, bro. You preach next week too.
No. we'll see. 20 minutes, right? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Okay, get that. Your life is hid with Christ. So, my life is hidden with the Creator of this universe. 2 days ago, we were in the city, New York City. We're walking. It is crazy. Not yesterday, but 30th. We said, 30th won't be that bad. It is bad. He could hardly walk. And Jaden, two years, he doesn't want to be in the stroller for a long time, and he doesn't want to be held. He wants to walk like everybody does. And it's New York City, the streets of New York City. He wants to go by himself. I hold his hand. Nope. He pulls his hand. He wants to walk all by himself. And the moment I hold his hand, he goes crazy. And okay, so as a good dad, and not see tantrums because we want to have fun in New York City, I let him walk. But I'm standing like this close to him with a hand under his hoodie, which he doesn't know, right? And the moment he senses that I was holding, he looks back. Oh, is somebody holding me? He wants to go by himself. And the moment he saw my hand, he goes, Dad, I want to walk by myself. I got this. He's 2-year-old. And I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, that's exactly what I do with my God. And there was a moment where I was standing on this side. I just went on the other side. I knew there were not many people. And I was walking next to him, and he goes like this, and he doesn't see Dad in the back. And he goes, and there is that fear suddenly, where's my dad? Like, he wanted to be himself, but he wants his dad next to him. And that is exactly who we are, right? I want to take that decision, and I want to make it work. I'm praying for this thing, but God, I don't see the answer. Let me help you, like Abraham did. Right? Sometimes we step ahead, and then we see, Lord, where are you? Now I'm left in this big, crazy world. Are you with me? Like, how many times we ask God, like, are you with me? Why am I not? And God is saying, I'm always next to you. And as an earthly dad, I take care of my son not to get lost in New York City. How much more my heavenly dad will take care of me in this sinful world? And you get that? I am hid under in Christ. It's like David saying, right? Under your wings, there is refuge. Under your wings. He has that picture of the cherubims covering the Shekinah glory, the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God dwelt in the midst of the wings. And David says, under your wings is my refuge, is my strength, is my comfort. And this year, I think we can take that promise, right? Lord, you are always there. I am hid in you. There is nothing you can do to run away from God. There is nothing Jaden could do on his own to run away by himself. There is no way I'm going to let my hand off him. And just the same way, my heavenly dad is always holding me. All right? And the last, fourth one is, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh. And there is the verse we always want to, you know, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So there is our first mention of the rapture, right? In a twinkling of an eye, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So in a twinkling of an eye, Jesus can come anytime. He will be in the midst of the heaven. And then everybody who accepted Christ will be risen with him. So there it is. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So he's going to appear any moment. It could be right now. I know there are people who are saying, yep, where's your Jesus? It's been 2,000 years. Remember how Apostle Paul and Peter were living. They were living as if Jesus could return that day. And did you know there is also a crown waiting for you for those who are looking for his return? There is a crown of righteousness for everybody who is waiting for the Lord's return. So there is a free crown for you. Every day in the morning, Jesus, I'm waiting for you. There's your crown. I'm not making this up. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Let me just read that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Amen? Do you love his appearing? Are you waiting for God to come? Not in a way like, I can't wait to get out. Are you waiting for his appearing? And if you are, a crown of righteousness is waiting for all of us, like Apostle Paul, right? So there's, Christ can appear any moment. And then the second part says, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That means we are coming back with Christ on his second coming. That is the second part of the verse. The first part, we being raptured, and the second part is we are going to come with Christ to reign and rule with Christ. That is the second coming. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 14 says, and I saw heaven, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. There's Jesus in a whole different picture. I know when we picture Jesus, we see Jesus with a lamb in his hand on a green pasture. Right? Now picture this. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. There's verse 14. You and I come in there. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. There's you and I following Christ in white linen. Oh, what a joyful day. Right? So we are waiting for his appearing, and then one day we are going to come back with Christ to rule. And then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So there's the doctrinal part of in those first four verses. Apostle Paul summarizes those in verse 4. And from verses 5 through 16 gives us all the practical parts or the practical application. Okay, you know the doctrine now, right? What? You are made new. You are dead in Christ. You are alive. And you are not bound to your sin. The chain, the bondage of sin is broken. You are set free. You have the liberty in Christ to serve with all your heart, right? And then, now he goes from verse 5 through 9, he talks about, these are the things you need to put off. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. If you haven't accepted Christ, everything that you're going doing against God's word, you are storing up wrath. And it is a scary thing. Because the wrath of God is going to come. There is a day of reckoning for everybody whose sins were not paid for. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So for those who have obeyed, you don't have to worry about the wrath of God. And mortify, therefore, mortify, the word is put to death. All right? Put to death, what? These things, fornication, most of us know, right? It's a sexual expression of any type of sexual expression, especially outside marriage or single who are not married yet. So that's where you get the word fornication, right? And uncleanness, it means impurity in the heart. So not acting upon it, but just thinking in your heart, those bad thoughts. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection, it's those wicked passions. It says the idea of lust for forbidden things. God has marked certain things as being off-limit, and this kind of lust seeks out those things and longs for them. Evil concupiscence, it is evil desires. So the people struggle with this. They don't actually commit it, but they just fantasy those wicked things in their mind. That's evil concupiscence, those evil desires. And covetousness, I mean, this most of us know because it's the last commandment in our 10 commandments, right? It means to have more, or anything that God has given, we are not satisfied with it. I just want more. I just want to do more. I just want to whatever thing in your life. That's what it means, covetousness. And it is that insatiable desire to possess more than one that God has given. And right after that, it says, which is idolatry. Covetousness is also part of idolatry. That means anything we are putting before God is idolatry. And covetous is putting that under idolatry, right? So we need to put to death all these things. And then, verse 8, it says, but now ye also put off all these, what are they? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So the first set of things, most of us were comfortable. Yep, I didn't do any of those. I'm standing pretty good. And you have your righteous coats on, I guess, right? And by now, once you get to verse 8, all those righteous robes that we just put on are stripped off from us. What are they? This is talking to Christians. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communications out of your mouth. And the Bible says in talking about anger, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Love my wife. Thursday, we were married 14 years. We celebrated our 14 years marriage. And one thing, you know, she always comes up and says, yep, we're not going to go to bed without, if there are anything that we had. Until kids, we were the best parents. And once the kids came, we look at ourselves and like, yeah, we need to do better. There should be some tutorial somewhere. And any kind of arguments that we have is around the kid. 2 years to 10 years, I don't know what's going to happen when he gets to teenager, but those are our struggles. And we had to set it right before we go to bed. And that is the advice she gives to any newly wed too. That is the word she gives to anybody who's wed. Don't go to bed without making sure that you have rectified it with your spouse. And that is exactly what the scripture says too, right? So don't go to bed, or anybody, even if it's your brother. Jesus goes to the other extreme, right? If you're angry at your brother, you already committed murder in your heart. I mean, so that is one thing we all struggle with. And I guess in the new years, we can definitely work on putting it off. Anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy, it just goes on. And lie not one to another. There's lying. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with the deeds. Remember your position. You were already made new. So why are we going to these beggarly things? And finally, he goes in verse 10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So finally, what do you have to do? Put off all these things that only cause our relationship with God farther away. But put on the new man that you are already are. You were a new creation, right? We just looked up at front. Put on that. It is an everyday. It's like getting your armor every day in the morning and going out to the world. That is what we have to do. Starting from New Year today to the end of the year. I hope we all work on that, putting that. So what does it mean, putting that? Thinking heaven, being in the Word, and praying every day. And if we can get those things right, all these things can be dealt with. Not on our own again. We need that. We need to put on Christ. And finally, in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So it doesn't matter what country, conditions, circumstances you are in, Christ is all and he is all we have. All right? I know there's a few more verses. You can go home. You can read from verse 12 to 16. It talks about being, you are the elect of God and you are holy. Verse 12, let me just quote that. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. I don't need to explain anything. It's just you can read it. Right? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. I mean, there's that one thing. I think we all can say that fact. There's not a lot of kindness around in this world. Especially after COVID, people have, that 6 feet is still there. You just go close to them and they're like, all right, man, you do your thing, I am. We were down at the green caroling, passing out. The guy doesn't even want to open the windows. Like out of 10 cars, only one or two open the windows. They think like there's something, hey, it's just we're here to help you or give you something. Nope. There's no kindness, but you know what? You and I, who have seen the light, are called to be kind. My son Josh, yesterday again in the New York City when we were walking by, he saw a homeless man. Priya went to get something for dinner. He was standing at him. He goes, Dad, he needs something. He's homeless. Yeah, and I didn't think of anything. And he goes, maybe we should buy something for him. And we saw the line. Priya is already waiting for 15 minutes. So I can't put another order for him and then wait for another 15 minutes. So I said, maybe we can give him a dollar. He can go buy it. All right. So he see there's a few dollars. So Josh goes and gives it to him. The guy was overwhelmed with this boy who gave him a few dollars. And he goes, he looks around and he has few food packages dropped. So he said, oh, here. He is returning what he had to Josh. I said, Josh, no, no, no. And finally, he goes through his groceries, I guess. He takes out a whipped cream and he goes, here, this is what. I'm like, Josh, no, just give him, say him a Happy New Year and walk off. The guy doesn't want to let go Josh. Like, he is giving him everything. And there is that old, nobody was caring. Thousands were walking by. And there is that one man. Just, you know, we can show Christ by the acts of those little. I mean, I learned. I was going to walk by him too. And there is, so praise God for the little generation. Raise them in a godly way. So when they stand on their feet, they will show that kindness of God, right? So Happy New Year once again. Think heaven, put off the world, and put on Christ. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, another opportunity, Lord, you gave. And thank you for your word, Lord. There's so much, Lord, we can study, and we can you have it for us, Lord. And you, as a father, Lord, you doesn't want us to be wandering away in this world. And we thank you for the promises that you have. Thank you for the provision, the safety, the protection you gave us, Lord, that we are safe under your wings. So, Lord, I pray for each and everyone here who are struggling with things, Lord, or who are standing on a fallen base. It seems like there's struggles, there's temptations around, and seems like there's no way out. Help them, Father, to know that they are covered under your precious wings, and they don't need to worry about the circumstances around. And just help them to set. Help all of us, Lord, to set our eyes on you and not focus on the circumstances that we have around or the health. I know New Year, we will ask for a lot of promises and a lot of good things. I pray, Lord, that many of us will have ups, will have downs, will have good health, will have sicknesses, and will have struggles, will have trials, will have temptations, Lord. And we'll have victories too. But in all, Lord, help us, Father, to have that attitude that you are always with us and that you will never leave nor forsake us. And we are always covered under your protection, under your wings. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there is anyone, Lord, today here or who is watching, Lord, who have not made that decision, who are still trying their way to make it, Lord, there is nothing we can do. You have already done it on the cross. So help them, Lord, to trust in what you have already paid on the cross. Repent of their sins and turn from their ways and make that decision. And Lord, for those who did make that decision, Lord, I pray, as we saw in the scripture, help us to think heavenlies, that we don't belong here. So if somebody, something is lost or somebody hurts, this is not our place. We are just a pilgrims. But give us strength, Lord, to overcome temptations and struggles in this side of life. And we know that you promised, Lord, that we have this life, abundant life here on this earth. So help us to live that abundant life here and not be living this defeated Christian life. Help us to be victorious in every day, waking up and thanking you for what you have done in our lives and moving forward in your strength. To expand your kingdom and the passion that you had, Lord, to save, to reach out to souls. Give us that same passion to all of us, Lord. Lord, help us, Father, to walk out this door as a challenge to have that desire to look at people as souls who are lost, not as people who complain or, you know, going through struggles, but soul who is lost and who needs Jesus. So equip us, Lord, with your word so we can reach out and work in each and everyone's heart, Lord, as we go and reach out. You work in their hearts. You don't want anybody to be lost. So please give that desire and equip us, Lord. Let us walk out with the power of Holy Spirit, knowing that you are with us and that we can reach out and share the good news of gospel to many who are perishing outside. And we love you, Lord. We thank you for this time you gave us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.